You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, I'm looking forward to these moments. I love this summer series that we're in, Summer Freedom. And last week and this week, the emphasis is this. It's walking in freedom from habits, if you will. It's walking in freedom from addictions. It's walking in freedom from sin. It's walking in freedom from the weights, the distractions of life that hold us back, that get us off course. We're talking about really stepping into a realm. You know, we hear these buzzwords through the years. You know, I'm going to a new level, I'm stepping up, and all these things. But the idea is a new way of living, a higher plane of living. And the Bible says that whom the Son sets free is what? Is free indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we've talked about this over and over and over again. You'll know the truth. Who's the truth? The truth is Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then you'll know the truth. You'll know the Word, what the Word of God says about you. See, I don't live according to what others say about me. I live according to what the Word says about me. I'm not my worst day, I'm not my best day, but I am a child of God. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. Colossians, we've been through that, studied that. And so, you know the Word of God, you know Jesus, you know the Word, thy Word is truth. And then, of course, this is what's so important, is that you know the truth about who you are. And here's what I know about me. My heart is deceitful above all. Everybody with me? Our hearts can justify just about anything. And so we've got to know the truth about our own life and what our tendencies are, what our weaknesses are, so we can walk in freedom. It's facing the truth. This is who I am. This is what I've done. No one wants to take responsibility. No one wants to call sin, sin. We've got this politically correct world that has caused us to become so weak as a culture, and so we face the truth about who we are, but we know this, when I get honest about who I am and quit making excuse, and I know and I experience Jesus and His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, old things pass away and all things become new. Amen. That's the way and the plane of living that we want to aspire to. God's no respecter of persons. My dad said it for years and years and years. You got all of God you want. And if you want more of God, there's more of God to have. So this morning we're talking about some principles that will help us to be free, but I don't want us just to see it in the term of simply sin and addiction and habits. We need to address that. But I also want us to see it in light of this is how to step into this realm of living. Let's say it this way. The thief wants to kill, steal, and destroy. The thief wants to keep you bound, wants to keep you distracted, wants to keep you weighted down, wants to keep you addicted, wants to keep you in a rut. But Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? So see, you don't have to live with that same old negative attitude. Because a rut and a habit might not be something that you take into your system. It might be something that's coming out of your system. It might be an attitude. It might be a negativity. But learning to rise above and not just say, well, that's just who I am. Hey, if I'm in Christ, I'm new. That's not just who I am. I have the DNA of God. And so to live with an expectation, a belief that God wants to pour out His Spirit in these last days on all flesh. And that's all of us. Amen? Amen. So here's what we're talking about. We're talking about being free. Being free, running the race. Hebrews 12:1, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We talked about weight and sin, which clings, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Life's not a sprint. We are great at starting, poor at finishing. Listen, you may have gone fast and then fallen off the track. I think I've told you a story. When I was in high school, I played football, basketball, baseball, ran track. You did everything in those days. Excelled more in football and excelled really more in basketball. And played at a small college, and all, you know the story. So when track came around, I was quick, but I didn't have blazing speed. So I pole vaulted. I didn't go high. 10 foot was about all I ever did. But I loved to lay on the mats down at the end of the football field after pole vaulting and watch the race, and that's where the girls tended to hang out as well. And I'd watch my buddies. Now, we won state in track my senior year, and my best friend was a state champion in what was the quarter mile, be the 400 today, and another one of my best friends was a state high jump champion. Another one of my friends was a state shot put and discus champion, and I loved to watch him. So I pole vaulted, ran the hurdles, laid on the mats, talked to the girls. There was a kid that one track meet in particular, he told coach he wanted to run the mile, and it may have been a 2 mile. And coach said, "Well, you've never ran it for us." "Coach, just put me in, let me run it." So he puts him in. This kid takes off. When they fire the gun, he takes off and he runs like you have never. He was sprinting and he pulled away. It's a race that you pace. It's not a gut race. There's a pace. He was gutting it out. He was a quarter mile ahead of everyone. Or a quarter. And when he got around the track and everyone is way behind, he comes around and we're like, "Holy cow, look at this guy go." And then he fell over in the pole vault pit. You know why? He couldn't keep that pace for the whole race. A lot of people start out great guns. And I don't want to throw a wet blanket on anyone. I want you to go for God, and I want you to give Him your best. But here's what I want you to understand. The Bible says that we got to lay aside the weight and the sin to run the race, to have an endurance to run the race. Are you following me? See, it's not just about how fast you start. A lot of people, I've seen so many people start and they fall off the track. This is about finishing. This is about persevering. This is about getting your second wind. Somebody say amen here today. It's about pressing on. And so this morning we're laying aside, running the race. What's some of the practical biblical principles to help us do this? How many are glad you came to church? Amen. Number one is this: start today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but stop postponing, stop procrastinating. Things are always harder the more you put them off. Delay always makes things worse. We keep putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. The Bible says this. It says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. What's it mean? It means this: if you're waiting for perfect circumstances, you're never going to do it. And there's folks that are going to get involved in church. They're going to get committed. They're going to start tithing. They're going to start witnessing. They're going to get involved in a small group. They're going to someday really take that step. But the enemy always says, you know what, you don't have to do it today. You can do it tomorrow. We'll get around to it. And people put off their whole life. I mentioned to you, again, I've heard my dad say, hell's going to be chock full of folks who were going to get saved. Someday. Someday. And so what we're talking about is starting today. Today is the day of salvation. Why would you want to wait one more day? If you could be free, why would you want to stay in prison one more day? Don't you want to step out? Well, start today. We talked about it last week. Here's the second thing, is refuse to blame others. It's human tendency. It started back in the garden whenever God said, don't eat from this tree. And, of course, the serpent came and tempted Eve. Eve ate from the tree. She turned around and she gave it to Adam. Adam ate. God comes down. What's going on? And Adam said, God, the woman you gave me, it's her fault. She gave it to me. She gave it to me to eat. I ate it, but she gave it to me. Eve turns around and says, it was the serpent. The devil made me do it. You see, we always want to blame someone else for our problems. I'm not going to park here. We talked about it. But let me remind you of this. At some juncture in your life, you have got to stop playing the blame game. You got to stop. What happened 10 years ago? What happened 5 years ago? What happened in the past? How long can you continue to blame? At some juncture, we take responsibility. How long are you going to blame your husband or your wife or your ex-husband or your ex-wife? How long are you going to blame them? How long are you going to blame your parents for the things that happen in your childhood? How long are you going to blame your teachers and your boss? How long are you going to blame the church? How long are you going to blame the pastor? How long are you going to blame the last pastor or two pastors or three pastors? How long are you going to keep going back to that same old story? At some juncture, you got to start living today. When you blame, you are lame. When you blame, you are lame. See, it's be lame. Be lame. All right, I'll go to another one then. I'll go to my go-to, which I always go to. If you're excusing yourself and you're accusing others, accusers and excusers are always losers. They're always losers. At some juncture, we must break free. Here's the passage of scripture that I gave you last Sunday. And again, I'm telling you, I have seen this. I have lived this. I have seen this. I have seen it in people. I've read this passage, Lord knows how many times, but it just explodes off the page. Proverbs 19:3, when a man's folly brings his way to ruin. In other words, when a man does things and he sins, he brings destruction onto himself, it ruins him. Maybe he loses his wife. Maybe he loses his children. Maybe he loses his job. But it says, when a man's folly brings his way to ruin, you know what he does? Instead of falling on his face and saying, God, have mercy on me. Instead of being like David and said, my sin's ever before me. Have mercy on me, O God. Here's what he does. Here's what man's heart tends to do. His heart rages against the Lord. God, why did you let this happen to me? Well, you made a decision not to be faithful. Well, God, you could have kept it from happening. Even though I was unfaithful, you could have kept it from happening. God, I know I did that, but you, we rage against God. The Bible says we reap what we sow. That's not the most popular scripture in all the world when it comes to sin. We love it when it comes to faith and giving, amen? But whatever man sows, that will he also reap. There are consequences for decisions that we make. And so we got to stop with the blame, game. All right, examine my life, take a personal inventory. You know, we want to say, well, I don't have a problem. I may have a little weakness, but I don't have a problem. But we need to ask ourselves, here's one really good question. Well, how long have you had that weakness? It's probably a problem because you probably had it a long time. Where am I tempted the most? Where do I tend to fear? What are my frustrations? We need to have an evaluation of our life. All those scriptures are in your notes. If you go to the Bible app, you'll be able to see live service. You'll find all these scriptures. Let us test and examine our ways and return. I love that. Lamentations 3:40. Let us test and examine our ways. And then what will we do? We return to God. Because when I look at myself, I see. When I examine myself, when I'm really honest with myself, here's what my response is. I need you, God. I need more of God. I'm returning to you. Amen? I'm glad my wife's here. I heard her say amen. Anybody else want to join her? Amen? Sure. All right. And then we need to ask Jesus to be the Lord of our life. Healthy people are examining themselves. And then Jesus be Lord, be in charge. We need a greater power. Who's in charge of your life? Are you trying to? Are you letting your schedule rule your life? Are you letting people rule your life? Are you letting circumstances rule your life? Are you letting alcohol and drugs and food and all the other addictions that we could talk about today rule your life? You need to turn the management of your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. Here's the next thing. Keep away from temptation. Keep away from temptation. Romans 13:13. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. So he's given us some things that people tend to get addicted to or become habits. You know, there's good habits and there's bad habits. We're tending to focus on the bad habits. And remember this, our habits determine our destiny. Our habits determine our destiny. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. If your habit is to be in church, your habit is to be in God's Word, if the habit is to be in prayer, the habit is to be a person of worship, let me tell you, then your destiny is going to be determined by your habit. But if your habit is of immoral living, if your habit is immoral living, sex outside of marriage, whether it be before marriage, with someone besides your spouse, adultery, whether it be heterosexual or homosexual, he's saying you've got to get rid, the Bible says flee, to get away from. Let us walk right, not in orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality. Verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Put on Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Make no provision. In other words, don't give the devil a fighting chance. Stay away from situations. The Bible says this. The Bible says down in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful passions. Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision. Do you see what I'm talking about here? So don't put yourself in tempting situations. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not. God, help me to know my weaknesses. Help me to understand. See, if you've got a drinking problem, you're a fool to make your house and stock it with a full bar. Crazy. If you've got a lust problem, you better get a filter on your phone. You're a click away. I can handle it. No, you can't. Nobody can. You better set up some parameters. You better know when your weakness, what time of the day, especially at night. You better know what's going on in your life. Plan carefully what you do. Avoid evil. Plan to avoid temptation. Listen to me. Decide in advance. I know I have a weakness here. Decide in advance. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to allow myself to be in this setting. Make a plan. You don't want to put yourself in situations where you know you're going to be tempted. Plan ahead. You know that you're vulnerable in certain situations. Decide in advance. Predetermine. In all my years of youth ministry, I would tell young people this. Two Christian young people on a date does not constitute a Christian date. Just like I tell folks that are getting married today, two Christians getting married does not constitute a Christian marriage. You've got to act it. Act. You've got to live it out. Stay away from situations that would stir up the flesh. Listen, if you're in a dating situation, don't go. If mom and dad are gone, don't go to their house. You know they're gone. You're putting yourself, well, we're just going to watch TV. I wouldn't put myself in a situation where I know that life is vulnerable. You say, well, Pastor, you don't trust me? No, I don't trust you. I don't trust myself. Why would I trust you? Come on. You have got to be wise. The enemy loves to try to undermine. How many situations have happened if we just wouldn't have gone there, if I just hadn't drove, if I just hadn't put myself in that situation? Flee, run from. Do the Joseph thing. When Joseph saw Potiphar's wife, she bears herself to him. He ran. You say he's a coward. No, he's the wisest man you'd ever see. He ran from it. Flee means to run. Most of us, when we flee temptation, we leave a forwarding address. When it comes to temptation, here's what I'd say. Burn your bridges. Do the smart thing. Stay away from situations that tempt you. I could go on and on and on. I have these Ephesians scriptures in there. But it goes through, and there's one scripture I'll point out, Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. But it talks about, in verse 19, they have become callous, and they have given themselves to sensuality, to greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. See, there's a lot of quote-unquote Christians, but you're hard, you're calloused. You're the Lord, you're in control. And what happens is you become greedy and you're given over to your own sensuality. And we've got to put on Christ. Put on Jesus. We're a new creation. Amen? Amen. Here's the next thing. My time is running. Focus on something better. James 1:14 says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it brings death. And the wages, we know this, the wages of sin is death. Proverbs says, my son, be attentive to my word. Incline your ears to my saying. Let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart. They are life to those who find them. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the wellsprings of life. Goes on to say, don't look to the left or right. Don't swerve to the left or right. Turn your foot away from evil. See, the battle for sin is fought where? The battle for sin is fought where? In your mind. Spiritual warfare, the mind of God warring against the mind of Satan in the mind of man. And whatever captures my attention captures me. Did you grab that? Whatever captures my attention, it captures me. The key, this is probably one of the biggest principles of Scripture that has impacted my life, that I struggled with when I was young and young in ministry until I discovered what it really meant. Finally, brethren, whatever's good, pure, just, honest, if there be any virtue, if there be any good thing, think on these things. The whole principle is this, is to refocus our attention. To refocus. See, whatever you concentrate on gets you. We know that when it comes to food. If I concentrate on, if I say I'm going on a diet, I'm concentrating on food, I'm thinking about foods that I haven't eaten forever and they all sound good. I might even want a pickle. I don't like pickles. But boy, you put me on a diet, I want a pickle. I maybe haven't had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I don't know when. But boy, put me on a diet, and I'm going to crave a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I concentrate on it. If you're concentrating on what this whole idea of sin, I'm not going to do this. You have to concentrate on the good things of God. You got to take your mind off of it. You've heard me say this time and time again. I am convinced David would have never ended up in bed with Bathsheba if he could have redirected his thoughts and if he could have talked to someone else, and we'll talk about that in just a second. If he could have said, guys, you're not going to believe what I just saw when I was on the roof. Somebody order pizza. We're going to play basketball. Let's do something tonight. Guess what? He wouldn't ended up with all the pain. But he allowed it to become ingrained in his thoughts. So, think of this. You may think, you know, when people meditate, they want to get to nothingness. You know, you're just concentrating on the lint in your navel or whatever it is that you're just trying to get there and get to nothingness. Well, nothingness is not a good place to be. Because your mind is full of something. You know, my gas tank is always full. It might be half full of gas, but the other half is full of air. And there's always something. I've got to get my mind onto the Lord. I've got to redirect. Here it is, Romans 12:2. Liz and I talked about this after last week's message. Here's the key. The transforming of your mind with all the junk. We talked about addictions to pornography last Sunday a little bit. The transforming of our mind. How valuable is the Word of God? How valuable is to redirect our thoughts? How valuable it is to put the Word of God in us? Because that is how you're transformed, the renewing of your mind, by the Spirit and by the Word. Amen? Listen, if you listen, these are biblical principles. I'm not saying I can help you, but the Word of God can help you. Save you from a lot of pain. How about this? Here's another step. Restore broken relationships. Restore broken relationships. Some of you are dealing with hatred towards other people. And I'm going to tell you this. Hatred promotes self-destruction. You may not think it, but it's the truth. And so an action may really come out of this hatred to cause you to go down this path of self-destruction. We grieve ourselves, we grieve others, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We need to make things right with people. See, we make things right with God, and then we make things right with people. Listen to Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do everything you can to be at peace with others and to restore relationship. Do the best that you can, is what Paul's saying. He's saying, I understand there's some people that's impossible, but do your best. My mind went to this passage, Matthew 5:23-24. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, why would your brother have something against you? Because of an action that we've done. You see, addicts, addictive personalities, we get into our habits, our weights. We're all, listen, it's all about manipulating others. We'll do whatever we can. And so when you think, well, they have something against me, understand, they have something against you because you've done something. So it's our responsibility then to leave the gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to our brother and then come and offer your gift. Listen, a clear conscience. There's something about admitting it to God. There's something about admitting to others when you have wounded and hurt them, caused problems and caused grief. And to clear your conscience and to be released. Here's what I would say. Enlist in a small group and extend yourself to others. Those are the last two points. It's important to be in a group. You know, this message is taken right from Saddleback, and our Celebrate Recovery goes hand in hand with what happens on Monday night. Celebrate Recovery, Pastor Philip leads that. But it's important to be in a group. Celebrate Recovery is a great group to be a part of where you can grow. AA is a great group. So I know Celebrate Recovery meets once a week. AA, you can find an AA group every day all across our community, and there's some wonderful AA leaders in our church. Let God be your higher power. Amen? But you need to be connected. You need to break the cycle. You need friends to encourage you. Here's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If one fall, one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him who is alone when he falls and doesn't have another to lift him up. What about this? Confess your sins one to another and pray that you may be healed. We confess our sins to God, but there's something about it we're struggling that we confess. Jeb, I'm struggling, and I need to confess to you. Boy, there's something freeing. But see, here's what the enemy says. You can't tell anybody. And there's so many people that stay in bondage because they won't open themselves up to the bondage that they are experiencing. You see, I want to be free, but I don't want anyone to know that I'm weak. It doesn't work that way. And then we extend ourselves. We extend ourselves to others. We go through the things we go through, and if we go through them and we walk out of them according to God's word and God's grace, then what happens? We are able to take someone else's hand and help them. My experiences are not lost. Process is not wasted. But God can take my hurt, my pain, my failure, work in me, and help me to help someone else. Because you see, we're all broken in some way. But by the grace of God, here we are today.